where the bomb ass can be. A place where you never find a dance floor empty. And pimps be on a mission for them greens. Lean, mean, money making machines.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on the Saturday, the 27th day of July. That is from the Super Bowl, the LA Super Bowl. And our next guest wanted to hear this.
Okay.
She didn't expect it to come from the Super Bowl. We got to thank Megan for coming on here and joining us every week during this break. The WNBA taking this time off during the Olympics, but she has been diligent as far as filling in and being a part of the show, growing our audience, bringing folks here to follow her. And listen, we get to talk not only Dream, but we get to talk all WNBA with Megan. And also, Now it's Olympics.
Absolutely.
So from USA Today and For the Win, Megan L. Hall, good morning. How'd you like that intro?
I loved it. It was fantastic. 10 out of 10. No notes.
Well, the games are underway. We're waiting for the basketball to get started, but what have you been watching so far?
Yeah, how's your week watching this, the opening ceremonies and everything?
Well, first let me say, I'm so happy that you guys remembered that I said California Love was the song I wanted.
I did. That was the first thing I thought of, was playing that version, too, when you said that.
I loved it. The other thing is, I was watching the opening ceremonies yesterday, and I mean, I will say this: anyone who stayed to watch the entire, like, what is it, 5.5 hours? Like, wow, so much went into that. So much, I guess, theatrics and presentation, and it was really cool to see all the like boats coming down the Seine River. And then finally, you know, getting to towards the end of the ceremony, you have this beautiful performance from Celine Dion, and I may or may not have cried like a big baby. And then you have, you know, of course, the lighting of the cauldron and that sort of thing. So it was just fantastic. That was great. And then I woke up this morning to, what was it, a silver medal in women's synchronized 3-meter springboard. So that's pretty cool.
This is what I've been waiting to ask you, though, because like last week, I wasn't here, so I haven't had a chance to talk to you, and I don't know if you guys talked about this, so forgive me for going over this, but I watched that game, the sort of warm-up game between the WNBA players versus the Olympic team.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Did you comment on that, and what were your thoughts about that after it happened? And again, I've heard the conversation about, you know, what should have been, and maybe they should, these guys, all of that stuff. What was your thought after that game with the players and what they did to the Olympic team?
Yeah, for sure. So first of all, fantastic game. I was so proud that not only did the fans in the arena, you know, 16,000 plus fans got a show, but so did everyone else watching. This is, you know, upwards of 4 million people watching got a show, and they got to see all this elite talent in the WNBA. And we talk a lot about, you know, okay, hey, you might have come to the WNBA for Caitlin, or maybe you came for Angel, or maybe you came for Cameron Brink, whoever you came for, but you have stayed, and now you're seeing this immense talent. And I just absolutely loved all of it. I loved Arike, you know, just torching Team USA
for
34 points. You know, I will say this. What's crazy is Arike went off, but nobody really talked about how Brianna Stewart also went off. She had 31 points. And so to me, it was just a really great display and really kind of backed up that, like, this league is deep, deep with talent. And I think that's the overarching thing that I came away with. I had someone ask me, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, but hey, well, what happened? Maybe they got Team USA wrong. And I'm like, you know, I think the thing is, it's a couple things. We can say the thing, right? Like, there's obviously politics involved in the Team USA selection. Like, that's not a, you know, a thing. Even Arike talked about, like, that's why she pulled her name out of consideration. But what I will also say is that just having talent doesn't always equate to you being on the Team USA roster, right? Like, if that was the case, someone like Kalia Copper, someone like Alyssa Thomas, who clear talents, WNBA champion with Kalia Copper, for example, and she's just now getting to her first Olympics and she's 7 seasons in, right? And obviously you make exceptions, you know, or you would think you make exceptions for generational talents and things like that, and a Caitlin Clark or someone like Arike, who you know is a clear shooter. But I just think that, you know, again, this just tells you just how much talent the league has. So that's the overarching thing I came away with. I wasn't really worried about Team USA because they were using that game anyways to kind of, you know, get gelling, so to speak, before Paris. And obviously they were fine. You know, if you saw their exhibition against Germany just a couple days after. But it was just a wow. Like, hey, if you came for someone, like, you probably weren't expecting this big of a show, and I'm glad that you stayed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Folks, spending time on the waitforit.com. I'm with Megan L. Hall. Always great to talk with her. And she is social. You can find her at It's Megan L. Hall. At Megan L. Hall. You know, I don't think the U.S. team will face a team as talented as the WNBA All-Stars. The women's game globally, to me, is not quite to where the men's game is globally, where you have these teams that are going to be a threat to the men's team. I just think the concentration of talent that we saw in that WNBA All-Star team was like something that I don't think they're gonna see that caliber of talent in this Olympic tournament. I don't know what you think or what you're expecting from the teams from the other countries.
Yeah, I would say that someone like an Australia, if you take a look at their team, it's littered with WNBA talent as well. So you've got Ezzie McBeggar from the Seattle Storm, who is a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. You've got Jade Melbourne of the Mystics. You've got, a ton of talent. I'm just naming folks off the top of my head. Lauren Jackson, who was a Seattle Storm great for many years, and has also been playing international ball for years and years, several championships there. So I think there's maybe a team or two who could probably potentially challenge them. But I would not be stunned to see this team come home with another gold medal. I think, and here's the reason why, and this is no slight to anyone else on that roster, but Asia Wilson is on some sort of just otherworldly tear.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Without a doubt.
Yeah, and I cannot see Asia Wilson saying, we didn't come home with this gold. So take that for what it is. But there's something about the energy that Asia brings, the tenacity that she plays with, that other people gravitate towards. And she by herself is just a one-woman wrecking crew. And very few people have had answers for Asia Wilson. And if that's the case, you managed to neutralize Asia Wilson. By the way, the Team USA is littered with people who can also help. Breonna Stewart, Kalia Copper, Alyssa Thomas, Sabrina Ionescu, Jewel Loy. Like, the list goes on. So it's a pretty stacked squad. So I would be stunned to see them not come home with it. The expectation, obviously, and they know that too, is that they do. But I think that they're primed to do that. And I think that would be fantastic. Probably the keynote for Diana Taurasi, who's in her sixth Olympics. She said the other day, hey, this is her last ride as far as the Olympics goes. And it would be great to send her off as well with a gold medal.
Megan L. Hall, USA Today's For the Win, joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. She's talking about they know what's going on over there. They know a lot about the bright light that's on them right now. You know what's funny, Sam? We talk about this in other sports. We talk about this with other athletes when you say that they play up to the level of the competition. So in other words, right, they have some sort of switch they can turn on and off. But in this case, when we talk about the women basketball players, whether it's the NBA, the Olympic team, whatever it is, they are turning it up because they know the light that's on them right now. She's talking about Asia Wilson playing with some sort of sixth gear.
Oh yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And it's because of the opportunity that is there right now, and they got to take advantage of it. And so I agree with everything that you're saying though. But it's straight. We're in a weird time right now in a lot of things having to do with sports. Period. We could morph off this and everything that Megan's saying. And talk about the craziness of what's going on in college football or college sports, period, with the conferences. But this is what I wanted to ask you, Megan, as we approach the end of the Olympics and what's coming up next. Talk about the second season of the WNBA and where some focus should be other than where what we have here locally with the Dream.
Yeah, for sure. So the second half should be really great from a couple standpoints. So obviously you're going to get rest for several people, right? Like, they're getting, 3-plus weeks off. That's going to be really rejuvenating for your younger players, especially those who were in the NCAA tournament earlier this year, because they've been playing basketball for nearly a year straight. Yeah. So for them, that's going to be fantastic. The other thing that you want to look at is, okay, teams are getting a chance to get healthy. A couple teams were banged up, so they have had a chance to rest. And what will they do down the stretch? I'm particularly talking about the Dream as well. They really come to mind because they've dealt with so many injuries. So that will be helpful for them. I think the biggest thing is who's going to be in the playoffs, right? You're going to come down the back half of the season. And right now, the Dream sit outside that bubble. For better or worse, they're at, we'll call it 9. So they're just outside, and they would have to go pretty flawless, I would think, down the stretch of the season in order to probably get an eighth spot, because you're looking at Chicago, Indiana, and the Phoenix Mercury for 6, 7, and 8, and that is going to be a really tough battle. The Fever are sneaky good, and they've beaten some top teams with the Phoenix Mercury. They've beaten, you know, Minnesota Lynx. They upset the New York Liberty, so it's very clear that they can, you know, do that on any given night. So I'd be curious. I'd also be curious to see what the Phoenix Mercury do, because they brought over Kalia Copper, Natasha Cloud in the offseason, and they've been kind of sitting at this weird 500 spot for most of the season. They can't really get too far above 500. So I would be curious to see what they do, because if you've been paying attention to anything that's being said, I want to bring this up, is LaChyna Robinson from ESPN said that she describes the Phoenix Mercury as the biggest threat to the Las Vegas Aces in their three-peat journey. So I think that they're built to do that. They've got several, you know, pieces on that team that could potentially help upset a Las Vegas Aces team. Sorry, Aces fans, if you're listening to this, just cover your ears. But outside of that, I think that, you know, it's going to be very intriguing to see what happens with Chicago down the stretch. They've been playing with, you know, starters and who moves here, who moves where, trading pieces, all of that. And then one more for you is the Connecticut Sun. So speaking of trades, so Marina Mabry came over from Chicago Sky. They sent back some players to the Chicago Sky. And it was mainly to help, I think, this is just my opinion, I think it was to help with their three-point shooting, because they realized they were kind of getting run out of the gym by the better teams of the league, like New York Liberty, and couldn't keep up. And maybe this is the piece that helps them, you know, potentially knock the Aces off. So it'll be really interesting down the stretch of the season. Yeah, for sure. So the second half should be really great from a couple of standpoints. So obviously you're going to get rest for several people, right? Like they're getting, you know, 3+ weeks off. That's going to be really rejuvenating for your younger players, especially those who were in the NCAA tournament earlier this year, because they've been playing basketball for nearly a year straight. Yeah. So for them, that's going to be fantastic. The other thing that you want to look at is, okay, teams are getting a chance to get healthy. You know, a couple teams were banged up, so they have had a chance to rest. And, you know, what will they do down the stretch? I'm particularly talking about the Dream as well. They really come to mind because they've dealt with so many injuries. So, you know, that will be helpful for them. I think the biggest thing is who's going to be in the playoffs, right? You're going to come down the back half of the season. And right now, the Dream sit outside that bubble. You know, for better or worse, they're at, we'll call it 9. So they're just outside, and they would have to go pretty flawless, I would think, down the stretch of the season in order to probably get an eighth spot, because you're looking at Chicago, Indiana, and the Phoenix Mercury for 6, 7, and 8, and that is going to be a really tough battle. The Fever are sneaky good, and they've beaten some top teams with the Phoenix Mercury. They've beaten, you know, Minnesota Lynx. They upset the New York Liberty, so it's very clear that they can, you know, do that on any given night. So I'd be curious. I'd also be curious to see what the Phoenix Mercury do, because they brought over Kalia Copper, Natasha Cloud in the offseason, and they've been kind of sitting at this weird 500 spot for most of the season. They can't really get too far above 500. So I would be curious to see what they do, because if you've been paying attention to anything that's being said, I want to bring this up, is LaChyna Robinson from ESPN said that she describes the Phoenix Mercury as the biggest threat to the Las Vegas Aces in their three-peat journey. So I think that they're built to do that. They've got several, you know, pieces on that team that could potentially help upset a Las Vegas Aces team. Sorry, Aces fans, if you're listening to this, just cover your ears. But outside of that, I think that, you know, it's going to be very intriguing to see what happens with Chicago down the stretch. They've been playing with, you know, starters and who moves here, who moves where, trading pieces, all of that. And then one more for you is the Connecticut Sun. So speaking of trades, so Marina Mabry came over from Chicago Sky. They sent back some players to the Chicago Sky. And it was mainly to help, I think, this is just my opinion, I think it was to help with their three-point shooting, because they realized they were kind of getting run out of the gym by the better teams of the league, like New York Liberty, and couldn't keep up. And maybe this is the piece that helps them, you know, potentially knock the Aces off. So it'll be really interesting down the stretch of the season to see what happens. And keep your eyes, of course, on the New York Liberty. They still have a bitter taste in their mouth from losing in the finals and having the Aces celebrate on their home court. So I don't think anybody's forgotten about that. And certainly Aces, you know, obviously understand that the target on their back is a whole lot bigger now.
Well, Megan, before we let you go, got to give you a shout out to Alisha Gray and what she was able to do representing Atlanta Dream. Yeah. What a weekend she had last weekend, huh?
Oh my goodness! So Sam, I'll tell you this: I was so excited for Alisha because she is such a genuine soul, and people saw that sweet, just charismatic, very bubbly personality on her. And then she went out, shot the lights out the gym. So it's like, okay, all right, this is duality, I would say. It was awesome. I thought it was much needed for Dream fans. And I also want to shout out Ryan Howard, too, because she was in the 3x3 competition. And she had 12 of Team USA's 19 points. And both of them completely wrecked, All-Star Weekend. And Alisha walks away with $110,000 in money that she didn't have, two hours prior to winning it.
Yeah, now.
So that's great.
Fantastic. That is fantastic stuff, Greg. Well, Meg, we appreciate you always spending some time with us. Great stuff. I think Team USA is coming up. They got Japan up. That's going to be the next one.
Yeah.
The first game at the Olympics.
And thank you for making yourself available to us. Now, can we tap into your knowledge for the rest of this Olympics? Can you be like an Olympic correspondent for us?
I can. I can totally do that. That's not a problem. I'm watching anyway, so it's not like, you're not getting anything that I'm not writing down or screaming at my television, of course.
Okay, I should have threw in pro bono, too.
I want to make sure
we can do that for her. We get a T-shirt. She comes to the station and all that stuff.
Megan, thank you so much.
Megan, thank you as always, and enjoy the rest of your day. And, just
enjoy the Olympics.
Bring some good luck this way.
Hey, yeah, I will try to do my best. Don't hold me to it, though, because I don't want anybody to come for me.
All right.
Thanks. All right, there's Megan L. Hall from USA Today's for the win. I'm working on something over here, right?
I'm watching tennis, man.
We got moving parts. You got watching tennis.
We got Djokovic on one court. We got Alcaraz on another court playing tennis right now. It's so many things going on right now in Paris.
It's a little radio show.
We got beach volleyball happening up here.
It's suffering because
of it. We got folks at the pool. We got people, gymnastics. It's just all going, folks. It's great. Next couple of weeks just going to be fun.
Sam and Greg, take us with you on the Odyssey app.
About how you've been playing for about a year straight. So can you put into perspective how tired are you? And on top of that.
Shouldn't get tired. You see the way I run? I just sprint all the time.
All the time.
Sprint. I sprint everywhere. I sprint in my apartment. I sprint. I love sprinting.
And then not making the national team.